the good news. You don't have to run and hide. You can jump for your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the Kids Canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Ahoy, crew members, and welcome again to the Kids Canoe. Now, if you remember, I've been constantly putting out this particular part that I want you to remember that comes directly from God. And that is something that he has stated very clearly to us. Every experience that God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. And I was relating to you all my experiences at Patterson Park, because during the War of 1812, there was a great battle fought there. And when I was sitting on the cannons at the top of Hampstead Hill, I asked my dad, why are there cannons here? And he told me the story of the War of 1812 and how the British had come and they had landed at North Point. They proceeded down to Hampstead Hill and we stopped them there. And because of the cannons that we had on the hill. And also at the same time, there was the battle at Fort McHenry. Again, we won that victory also. In fact, on both victories, the British outnumbered us and they outgunned us, but we were undetermined and we defeated them at both places. So I'm using the battle at Hampstead Hill and the battle at Fort McHenry as examples in my life as how God works. And one of the things I remember also that was really important to me is my father would take me to Patterson Park, and I remember he would try to get me to make sure I got plenty of exercise, and he would challenge me to race him up a hill or race him along the park. And one of the places that we liked to visit was this monument, and it was called Pulaski Monument. And it was actually dedicated to a Polish general who came during the Revolutionary War, and he fought with the Americans. And the reason he did is he had a love of liberty, and he came to America for the love of liberty, and he fought for liberty, and he lost his life. In fact, there was a monument not only there, but in many Polish communities across the country, there are actually monuments to Count Pulaski. And I remember that, and also I was sort of proud because I was Polish, and here was this Polish general that came. In fact, he was an expert horseman, and he is called the father of the American cavalry. So we have that as an example, and I'm going to give other examples in my life, but do you have examples in your life where you actually see Scripture revealed? Well, anyway, as I was thinking about this, I remembered something about the War of 1812, and later when I went to college, I studied it in detail. And one of the things that was interesting about the War of 1812 of why it even started. In fact, what happened was the British and the French were constantly sort of bickering with each other, and one of the things that happened was the British declared war on the French. And what happened was the French were a little bit short-handed in money and so forth. So you know what they did? They sold America the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, and they sold it for $15 million. Do you know what that did to the United States? Well, it doubled our size. It seemed really like God was looking out for us, because we started out with just pretty much the East Coast, and now we got right into the heart of America with the Louisiana Purchase. Now, the $15 million that the French got, they used to build up their army, and they were fighting constantly back and forth with the British, and also they went out and attacked Russia, and they actually conquered Moscow. Well, Well, that was one of the reasons why the War of 1812 started, because what happened was they had bottled, the British had said, oh, we don't want you trading with the French and making them have more money and their economy to grow. So what they did was they started to blockade America, and all this resulted in a war. But I want you to remember something that really is important, and that was what happened when the British burned Washington. Yes, a lot of people forgot about that, but let me just tell you about what happened. On the night of August 24th in 1814, the invasion was done during a very hot day. It was 100 degrees, and the city was put into flame by the British. They kept moving and lighting fires all day, and then they went to sleep, and then the next day they started burning again, but then something happened. They didn't notice that the skies were darkening, the thunder and the lightning. The citizens of the city knew that the bad storm was coming, and they quickly took shelter. The British thought they had no idea of how bad a DC storm could get. Well, the clouds began to swirl and the winds locked up, and a tornado formed in the center of the city and headed straight for the British on Capitol Hill. The twister caused British cannons to be tossed into the air by the wind. British troops were killed by falling structures and falling debris. Rain continued for hours, and guess what it did? It put out the flames that the British had started in burning Washington. Well, this was called many times as it was called basically the miracle of the saving of by Jesus of Washington, D.C. And one of the things that happened there was the president at the time was named James Madison, and he said this: the enemy, by sudden incursion, has succeeded in invading the capital of our nation. During their possession, though, for a single day, they wantonly destroyed the public offices, an occasion which appeals to so forcibly to the patriotic devotion of American people, none will forget it. Independence is now to be maintained in the strength and resources which heaven has blessed us. Well, you know, one of the things that happened was the British troops decided to leave. And this is what happened. As the British troops were preparing to leave, a conversation was noted between the British general, General Ross, and a Washington lady regarding the storm. The admiral exclaimed, "Dear God, madam, is this the kind of storm to which you're accustomed to in this infernal country?" And the lady answered, "No, sir. This is a special indispensation of Providence to drive out the enemies from our city." And he replied, "Not so, madam." Well, that was actually a warning. And, you know, one of the things we see in America is we're getting warnings too. You know, Ross was actually warned right there. You know, God was intervening. God had stopped the British with this tornado. Do you know, in the history of Washington, D.C., for the last 250 years, do you know there's only been a few other tornadoes that ever even touched Washington, D.C.? But there was a special one that stopped the British right there. You know, there's a man named Jonathan Kahn, and he is going to be actually speaking here in Port St. Lucie on May the 4th, and I have a lot of the people from Good Samaritan going with me, and he talks about harbingers. You know, there's been harbingers that we have seen. Do you know, during the 1980s, we saw a terrible disease break out called AIDS, and then we had the destruction of the Twin Towers, and then we had this recent COVID epidemic. Do you think they might be harbingers of things to come? Well, General Ross ignored that. We're going to see what happens to him later. Because what happened was, after he left there, then there was a new emphasis on what to do. They wanted the next to capture Baltimore. So just 3 weeks later, they formed, got aboard ships, and part of the army landed at a place called North Point. And then the rest proceeded up the Patapsco River to attack the port of Baltimore. Well, what happened was really interesting because, first of all, they landed at North Point and they immediately entangled with a group of people which were defending it. And one of the things that who were defending it were these two men called Wells and McComas. They were young boys. And what they did was, when the General Ross was coming down, they ambushed him and shot and killed him. Well, they were later killed. But also, this is interesting to me because I taught for 16 years at Sparrows Point High School, and every day I passed the Wells and McComas Post number 2678, which was dedicated to their great bravery in stopping the British there. So we see that they then proceeded up with the Navy up into Fort McHenry, and they were defeated there. You see what happened? God was really showing us his wisdom, his power, and the fact that he was behind our American, the American nation. So we see that this was part of my experience. In fact, I actually went several times to the reenactment at North Point of the battle, and how even though we lost that little battle, we stopped the British from coming up, and it was delayed them, and the army, by the time it reached Hampstead, was also demoralized because they had lost their general. So, you know, one of the things that I mentioned before, and I want to bring it up again, and that's that monument. Because remember, I'm talking about the monument, Patterson Park, and how it related to the War of 1812 and how God miraculously saved our nation by sending a tornado to disrupt the British Army. Well, one of the things that happened was the Pulaski Monument, which I mentioned before from Count Casimir Pulaski, this was actually recommended by Benjamin Franklin and Lafitte. And in 1777, he joined the War of Independence for America. And at his own expense, he formed a cavalry right here in Baltimore, where I used to live, at the Patterson Park area. And it was his own expense. He got an army together, and finally he fought the British at the Battle of Savannah in Georgia. He was mortally wounded and died. So his monument is there. And one of the sad things that happened is I recently revisited Patterson Park. And it's really changed. You know, when I was a child, I remember staying at my grandparents, who only lived two blocks from the park. In fact, almost the entire area that surrounded Patterson Park was Polish, and my grandparents were Polish. And one of the things that happened when I stayed overnight in the summers with them, a lot of times it'd be very hot, and there was no air conditioning. So my grandfather would take a pillow and a sheet and a blanket and me, and we'd go up to Patterson Park, and we'd sleep there overnight, because it was cooler there on that hill with the wind blowing. So it was really a great place, and I really remembered it well. But you know what recently happened? What recently happened, okay, was the monument was defaced. It was defaced during the Black Lives Movement era. And one of the things that happened was they didn't even realize that Count Pulaski had nothing to do at all with the slavery. He didn't have slaves, but they didn't understand that. They didn't know the fact that he fought not in the Civil War, which they thought, but he fought in a Revolutionary War. So they defaced something they had no business doing. And, you know, one of the things that this brings to my mind is, remember, the Lord says this in Hosea 4:8, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God wants you to silence stupid and ignorant people by doing what is right. And that's in 1 Peter 2:15. Now, one of the things that I remember is that when I was in Catholic school, we prayed every morning. We had religion as the first hour of our class. But when I went to public school, we always started off the day at Golden Ring Middle School. We started off the day with the Pledge to the Flag and the Our Father. And you know what? The people that destroyed that and defaced that monument of Count Pulaski thought they were doing it for a reason that was tied into the fact that he was a slave owner, which he was not. So they lacked the knowledge of history, and also they lacked the knowledge that stopped in 1963. And that's when the Supreme Court ruled that we could not say the Our Father. And one of the critical pieces to Our Father is, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." So the lack of knowledge of history and the lack of knowledge of the Bible really caused that. So remember, there's a verse that's really important, and that's in Psalm 75, 6-7. "For victory does not come from the east or the west or from the wilderness, for God is the judge. He brings one down and exalts another." So, you know, we see this in history. You know, Egypt was a great power from 2100 BC until 1400 BC. That's quite a long time. It's 700 years. And then when they faded, Assyria took over. And then when Assyria sort of faltered, Babylon took over. And then the Medo-Persian Empire took over. And then Greece took over. And then finally Rome. All these basic world empires were eventually taken down by God. He allowed them to exist for a while, but see, the victory belongs to God. God is the one that determines the final outcome. Now, let's get back to Fort McHenry in the War of 1812, because one of the things that was really cool about Fort McHenry is the battle at Fort McHenry. And what it was is that one of the captives of the British people was Francis Scott Key, and he was on board the ship as a prisoner, and he was looking, and he saw what had happened. And he wrote the Star Spangled Banner, which later became our national anthem. Now, what I'd like to do right now is to play a little section of the national anthem. And if you remember, one of the things that I brought up before was the fact that about Lady Gaga. Remember Lady Gaga? Okay, remember that she basically was called Lady Gaga because of the fact that she liked a song which was made by Queen.
To honor America and perform our national anthem, please welcome Academy Award nominee and six-time Grammy winner, Lady Gaga.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Okay, well, you know, this was done at a particular time that's kind of interesting because it was sung at the Super Bowl number 38, and it was the New England Patriots versus the Carolina Panthers, and that was in 2004, and Lady Gaga sang the song. Well, why I wanted to bring it up and why it's important is because I don't want you to remember the Star Spangled Banner in that particular way. What I want you to remember is when you hear it at a football game, or when you hear it at a baseball game, or a soccer game, or if you hear it at a basketball game or a hockey, and you hear the playing of our national anthem, which was Francis Scott Key's The Star Spangled Banner. When you hear it, I want you to remember that miracle of the tornado that formed miraculously in the center of Washington, D.C., and stopped the British and saved our country. So remember, it was God that formed that. It was God that brought that into our presence. It was God that basically allowed America to exist. And, you know, we see something that I want you to remember because it was done in the Bible by Elisha. And one of the things, Elisha. And Elisha was an interesting character. Remember, he was a servant of Elijah. And what happened was he was giving information to the Israelis about the wars and battles that were going on with the Syrians. And the Syrians found out that it was him that was giving them basically information and allowed them to constantly defeat the Syrians. So what happened was, we see this in 2 Kings 6:6. We see, therefore he sent horses and chariots. This is the Syrian army and a great army, and he surrounded Elisha. He surrounded him in a city called Dothan. And his servant woke up, and he saw this great army that had surrounded him. It was a great army that surrounded Dothan, and he was very fearful, and he didn't know what to do. So what he basically said was, what are we going to do to Elijah? And he said to him, listen, I'll tell you what we should do. Okay, what we should do is you need to open your eyes first. And he wondered what that meant. So what happened was, Elisha then prayed and said, oh God, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You see, man might propose, but God disposes. And it was important because there was something else that was a lesson that was learned here. Now, what happened was, Elisha prayed when he saw the army, and he prayed that they would be blinded, and they were. And then he basically led all of them to the city of Samaria. And in the center of the city, they were helpless because they didn't have weapons and they were just there. And the leader of this Samaria said, should we then kill them? And he said, no, feed them and let them go. So what this shows is that even in victory, we should show mercy. And, you know, I remember the incident. In fact, I told you about when I was a little boy, I was about 10 years old, and I had just gotten a brand new football for a Christmas present. And we were playing football in a field down the street from my house. And these three boys who were gang members came up, and they wanted my football. Well, I held on to it tight, and also my friends started to gather around me. But then the leader pulled out a switchblade. And he pointed at it, and all my friends backed up a little bit for, I don't know why, what reason, but I went right towards him and grabbed his hand, and when he pulled away, he slit my finger. In fact, my middle finger almost fell off, and he really cut me bad. Well, then later, my neighbor who saw this happening from her porch called the police, and the police came to her house, and they asked my parents, what should we do? Do you want to press charges? And my parents then looked at me and said, do you want to press charges? And I said, and I thought for a while, and I don't know why I said it, but I said no. Now, I might have been thinking about something like James 2:13, that mercy triumphs over judgment. Or maybe Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to forgive a transgression. Or maybe I was thinking about love your neighbors, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and forgive those who hurt you in Matthew 5:43. Or maybe it was be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for our sake has forgiven us. Well, I don't know why, but I did. And you know what was interesting about that? He saw me several of the times after that, him and his gang, and you know, they never bothered me again. And they never even bothered any of my friends again. So sometimes mercy, it's important to remember that mercy triumphs over judgment. And I think that's something we need to be aware of in America, because it seems like we're really divided into one side or another. And if you remember, I gave the example of that experience that I had of Hands Across America. When 6 million Americans stretched across America and raised their hands together, we need to have that again in our lives. Now, you know, there's something called the Salvation Army. And, you know, I remember a particular song that my children sang. It was called I'm in the Lord's Army. And I remember them standing up in front of church and performing this. And they would say, I may never march in the infantry. And as they did, they would march in place. And then they said, or ride in the cavalry, and they pretend they were riding a horse. Or shoot the artillery, and they would smack one hand against another to imitate shooting artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Now, we're in the Lord's army, but you know what we need to understand about the Lord's army, okay, is that it's the Salvation Army. It's the army of bringing people to Christ. And there's a great example that occurred in Scripture. If you remember when Jesus was being arrested, and it was at night, and the soldiers were all around him. And you know what Peter did? Peter pulled out a sword and cut off the ear of a man named Malchus. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. Do you not think I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? So you know what the Lord did? He picked up that ear that Peter had cut off from that servant and put it right back in place. So we can see these things, like, we need to remember that. We need to have mercy. And one of the things that we also need to know is we need to be together. Now, I want to get into, we're getting in a little bit into history. We talked a little bit about the Revolutionary War and how Casimir Pulaski formed a unit called the American Cavalry and helped fight the British. And we talked about the War of 1812 and how God intervened. And I want you to remember this. Please remember it. When you hear the Star Spangled Banner, think of that miracle, that tornado that God sent in the center of Washington, D.C., that threw the cannons of the British up into the air and killed several of the soldiers also. Now, what happened, though, we had a nice peace for a while. We didn't fight with the Brits anymore, but there was another war that broke out. It was at Fort Sumter. It was the Civil War. It began in April 12, 1861, and it lasted for 4 years. And one of the things that I want you to understand is this was one of the most terrible of all the wars we've ever been involved in. In fact, if you look at the statistics during the Revolutionary War, remember our war for independence from the British, we only lost 25,000 people in that battle. Okay, in the World War I, we lost 116,000. World War II, 400,000. The Korean War, 54,000. And 57,000 in Vietnam. But you know what the worst war was? Was the Civil War. Over 500,000 Americans died killing each other. So one of the things that happened there, and it was kind of sad, but there was a battle over states' rights versus the federal rights. And one of the things we still see that today. In fact, recently the Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade, which was about abortion, and let it in the hands of the states, let them have the states' rights. Well, this was a big battle. And one of the things is we see a lot of people got involved with it, and the war was not going good for the North. And then all of a sudden, on January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln made a speech, and his speech was the Emancipation Proclamation. What he had done is he freed 4 million slaves. Now, this really, although it was really something that was just a speech, however, it must have been that God heard it, because you know why? From that moment on, from 1863, the North seemed to switch and they started winning the battles. In fact, one of the things that happened is just 6 months later, there was the Battle of Gettysburg in July of 1863, just 6 months after the proclamation that was made by Abraham Lincoln. He was a godly man, and he was making a proclamation freeing the slaves. And I think that really tipped the scale, and God sided with the North. Because why? Because he didn't want to see slavery in America. And what happened in July of 1863 at the Battle of Gettysburg, it was the turning point of the war. From then on, basically, the Confederates went downhill. So we see that, you know, there was even a great, great statue made, and it was on display in Boston. It was called the Emancipation Proclamation Statue, and it was a picture of Abraham Lincoln standing over a slave that he had freed. Do you know what happened? They took that down. People seemed to be offended by it. I don't understand how they could have been offended by the Emancipation Proclamation, other than some people thought it kind of looked kind of like the Abraham Lincoln was standing over the slave. But, you know, this is exactly part of history. And it's a shame, because history is being removed in many ways. And, you know, it's something for us to remember. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We should not judge, or we're going to be judged the same way we judge others. It's important for us to realize that. And, you know, I mentioned about Count Pulaski and his statue being defaced, being vandalized. Well, also this started to happen all over America. And it happened with basically a monument to a really interesting person. His name was Robert E. Lee. And, you know, remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to tell you a little bit about this man, Robert E. Lee, who's now all his basically monuments and statues have been removed. History's been changed. And one of the things that I'll get into is another gentleman, and his name was Stonewall Jackson. Both of these were godly men. In fact, one of the things that Robert E. Lee said, and I'm quoting from him, you can quote many different verses from him, but one of the things he said was, "Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and his redeeming love. For moral forces everywhere, for our nation, national leaders, let us pray and be passionate for the prayer." So, we're going to talk more about Robert E. Lee and what happened to him, and also some of the other statues that have been recently destroyed. If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation.